We're in the Gospel of John this morning in several different places. But we'll begin in John chapter 13. And we're going to go pretty fast, so I'll warn you. We're going to go that quickly. The subject this morning is keeping Jesus' word, obeying his word. And what that means to our life. And we've been talking about John's account of the final discourse of Jesus right before he goes to the cross. These are the final words of Jesus. And all mixed through this, I've been telling you that we're going to put off. Remember, I've been telling you that we're going to talk about the love of Christ and obeying him. And well, that's today. And we're going to do that today. But it's just mixed up in all this whole context here. And really, the whole gospel, it's there. And just there. And then this rang in John the Apostle's heart. And so in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John's letters, it's there again. Just loving Christ, loving his people. It's just, it's just mixed up in it. And so we're going to get we've been speaking about this last discourse and talking about the last discourse of Jesus to his disciples. And I've been skipping these parts to get it in now. I hope I haven't. Well, I don't think I have. I've just been skipping him because it's a large subject. So here we go. Now, in John chapter 13, this is the final discourse now. Judas leaves the 12 and goes to do his deed off into the dark. And as Judas leaves, John gives this account of what Jesus says. And he says, Jesus says, "Where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for another." So here's this command. You could say it mirrors closely what Moses did. You know, he came down from that mountain and gave this law, and it's something that forever rings in the Jewish heart and in our hearts, our Christian hearts, the law of Moses. And Moses delivered this law, and whose word was it? It was God's word. Didn't it say he wrote it with his own finger on those tablets of stone? And so here is the commandment delivered just moments before Jesus goes to his passion and his suffering. But it was earlier. The thought is earlier in John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father," and the context here is Jesus is talking about talking to the Jews, and the Jews say, "God's our Father. We've never been enslaved. And Abraham's our Father. We've never been enslaved to anybody." And Jesus says this, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he who sent me." In other words, he's come because the Father sent him. And so we have this context of love and obedience to God the Father. And these things set men apart. Love to Jesus. And love for his word. And love to and obedience to his word. Okay, in John chapter 14, we're kind of right in the thick right now of Jesus' last discourse. And he says this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth." When we talked about the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit last couple weeks ago, whenever that was. I didn't mention this love business. We just talked about the subject of the Holy Spirit, which is, I think, fine. But listen to what it says. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. This is mixed up. This idea of loving Jesus and obeying his word is just integral to the Christian life and integral to everything Jesus says here in this last discourse. In chapter 14, verse 21 and 22, he who has my commandment and keeps him, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. John chapter 14, verse 23, just right on down. Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my word and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. And here's this, that just comes out of Judas, not Iscariot, question. How are you going to reveal yourself to us and not the world? Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and we will come to him. The Father and I will come to him and we will make our abode with him. And we talked about that. What is central to it that we didn't talk about? Love for Jesus and his word and obedience to it. John chapter 14, verse 23 and 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. And Jesus is making it very clear who's who. How we can tell. It's this love for Jesus and the keeping of his words. John chapter 14, verse 28. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. Now down to verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Now, all through here, and we're going to talk more about it all. Oh, let's keep going. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. This is skipping over to the next chapter. I couldn't leave this one out. Just as the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy, that my joy be in you, that your joy be made full. And this is all in the context of that great text that's coming up, the vine, being in the vine. But I'm back to this point here. Love for the Father is seen by this love for Jesus and the willingness to do what he says. They're mixed up. They cannot be separated. This is homogenized milk. You can't, y'all don't know what that means, do you? Have y'all ever seen milk that hadn't been homogenized, what it looks like after you leave it alone for a couple, 3 hours? What's it do? It separates out. This love for Jesus and this love for his word and what he says cannot be separated from the rest of the Christian life. It's just mixed up together. And finally, this idea of love for Jesus and his word and obedience to him comes out in the final moments of John chapter 21, verse 15. And when they had finished breakfast, boy, I'd love to have breakfast like this every day of my life. Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, and I tell you, this is the first time we've heard about Peter since those bad moments. bad, bad moments. Do you love me more than these? He thought he did. Maybe he thought accurately, I don't know. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my lambs, or feed my sheep. Now that happens three times. Now in verse 18, truly I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone will gird you and bring you to where you do not wish to go. Now, this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said, follow me. The point in this, get back to what's going to happen to Peter. He's talking about Peter's death. He's going to be crucified, just like Jesus was. And this is something that all men would shy away. It's a place where you do not wish to go. How about you? Peter didn't want to go there. Jesus himself didn't want to go there. But this would be a glory to God. And it would arise out of, what was the question to Peter? Do you love me? So that's our subject today. So let's start at it. And we're going to kind of go back through these scriptures. Our relationship with Jesus has at its center the willingness to follow His commands. And this obedience rests on love for Him. Says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. In fact, this love for Jesus sets the Christian apart from everybody else. Do you love Jesus? Now, that's a big subject, isn't it? But you know, the other day we were coming back from, we went to Houston to get Leah's little car worked on. And a fellow stopped us. Do you think he loved Jesus, honey? I do. And I got out to go into the grocery store there, the little convenience store, to get a Red Bull so I wouldn't fall asleep or something. It's like them. And a man stopped me and started to witness to me about the Lord. He said, you know how to go to heaven? And I said in reply, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. And he said, well, you do know how to get to heaven. And we just visited a while, and I don't... But I tell you, he was there out of obedience to the Son. He was out there sharing the Word of God. He was doing what his heart told him Jesus would want him to do. Our relationship with Jesus has at its center the willingness to follow his commandments. And this obedience rests on love for him. Listen, we often think of obedience in it's kind of a negative word in our culture, isn't it? It just seems to have all kind of negative connotations. If I said, well, I'll just be quite blunt. If I said to Leah Beth, obey me, she wouldn't go with that much. And that's why, because it has come. Now, she promised to, by the way, I tell you. Preacher read it, she promised to. But it seems, you know, we have this, it's pretty rough word. But this obedience to Jesus isn't necessarily just, you know, cowering. No, it isn't cowering. It's not cowering. It comes out of love. Listen, I'll obey Leah. I'm fine with that. She says, Jeff, would you do this? What do you think we do this? And if I love her and I'll listen to her, and if, man, that's a great idea. This is our obedience to Jesus comes out of love for Him. And it sets us apart from all other men. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples. Can you live a life of sin and be a disciple of Jesus? They're mutually exclusive. Now, I'm not talking about earning your salvation. I'm talking about being a Christian. I like what it says. He who has my commandments and keeps them. I'll keep that. Our obedience to Jesus and the walk in the Holy Spirit are totally intertwined. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He'll give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. What is the great sign of the Holy Spirit? What is the greatest sign of the Holy Spirit? It is not speaking in tongues. As far as I know, Martin Luther never spoke in tongues. You ever hear anything such like that? Or he, as far as I know, he never walked on water and did any great works or those kind of things. Did he love Jesus? Would he risk it all for Him? So this walking in the Spirit and obeying God's Word totally intertwined, and it will reach right into eternity. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. We'll be doing what Jesus says in heaven. How about y'all? And it'll be our delight. The difference will be is we won't be warring with our old nature there. We have to war here. One way or the other, you're going to war with yourself if you're a Christian. If you are walking and you shied away from God's will, there's going to be a part of you that part of you that loves God in your inner man is not going to be happy. You cannot be happy and not walk with Jesus and obey His commands. You can't do it. I'm going to get to that in a minute. So the Holy Spirit and obedience to Jesus are just inseparable. They're intertwined. And it'll carry right into heaven. The gift of divine revelation depends on active obedience to Jesus. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who is loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. Jesus is going to share intimate things with those that are following him. How many times have you said, Jesus spoke to me today in your spirit? And you know He did. That would not be possible if you were on a different path. The path to be hearing from God and hearing about Jesus and the Father and this disclosure of God the Father, God the Son to you via the Spirit is integral to that revelation. Is loving Him and obeying Him and the willingness to love Him and obey Him. It rests on active obedience that comes out of love. This intimate fellowship, Jesus talks about this intimate fellowship. We will come and make our abode with Him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. This is the answer to that question about Judas asking him, says, Lord, how are you going to reveal yourself? Well, I'll tell you how I'm going to do it. If you love me, I'm going to come to you, and we'll live with you. I like, don't you like that make my abode with you? He's not just a house guest. He is son. He takes up personal residence. The old joke is you have two kinds of company. One that just comes for the afternoon and the other kind that they bring suitcases. If we want fellowship with our God, it all is wrapped up if you love me. You will keep my commandments. This love and willingness to do his word is just mixed up with the whole Christian life. You can't get it apart. It's homogenized together. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Obedience to the Son's command is actually an expression of love for the Father. We met some Jewish people this weekend in Houston, and we didn't think it was appropriate to, kind of unlike that fella at the gas station, we didn't feel like it was appropriate for us to lay into him good about Christianity. Obedience to the Son's command is actually an expression of love for the Father. Where there's no obedience to Jesus, there is no love for the Father. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. They correspond together. And I tell you, we should be praying for the Jewish people. They are select of God, chosen by God, and God's hand rests on them in some mystical way. And we should pray that there'll come a time of great coming to Jesus among the Jewish people. Now, we're often accused of anti-Semitism when we do that, which is blatantly ridiculous. To want a man to come to Jesus is to love him. And it's good that Christians pray for the Jewish people. Now, we did tell them that we love Israel. We love the Jewish people. And they proceeded to try to sell us some stuff after that at this little shop, which is fine. It was your job. But they said, you should come to Israel. Come to Israel. But obedience to the Son is intrinsic to that. Is love for the Father. And when you're not obedient to the Son, who are you not loving? The Father. You've heard that I said to you, I go away and will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. I do what the Father tells me to do. And if you remember how they were all upset about Jesus going to the Father? And they didn't know what that meant. They didn't want him to go. They want him to stay and all that stuff. If the disciples were not so preoccupied with themselves, they would have rejoiced that Jesus was going to the Father. What blinded them to this whole great unfolding that was just right ahead of them? Jesus was going to go and be exalted on high into the heavens, sitting at the right hand of God. And he was going to take the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would be shed abroad in men's heart at Pentecost, and the world would change forever. But the disciples quite literally preoccupied with their view of things and themselves don't see it. I wrote this out so I could say it the way I wanted to say it. The grief that the disciples expressed at the news that Jesus was going to the Father only looked like love and faith. It wasn't real. If they'd have seen it, the eye of faith, they'd have seen what was coming, they'd have been happy. All they saw is their preconceived future that they felt like had to happen or they wouldn't be happy. What are you talking about going? Now, when I ask you, listen to what Jesus said. You heard that I said to you, I go away, I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced. Whew. This expression of grief and sadness and all this stuff, they were more at this point, more in love with this preconceived conception of what following Jesus would mean than the real thing. Now that's staggering. And this is why it's helpful. Because I'm telling you, sometimes we get in a situation, we don't see anything except how we're looking at it. And there may be something more glorious than we ever imagined on the other side. I'm telling you, you may say, well, when that doctor says to you, they're just plumbers. We're going to take some wrenches and some saws and we're going to hack away on you and we're going to do this and that. Pardon me, Terrell. We're going to do all this stuff for you. It sounds like scientists. And Terrell's going to say stuff to us in Latin and things. But we're hearing stuff that we do not like. And I'm telling you, it's the same in the spirit. There are things that we are called to go through, and if we would just see it, we might just rejoice. And the disciples right here were blinded by their self. We could say they're preoccupied with themselves, or maybe they were blind, whatever it is. Their self kept them from seeing. It says, I'm going to read it to you again, and you ponder this. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced. Did Jesus overstate that? When was the last time Jesus said anything overstated? But see, they were looking at something that just looked terrible to them, and it was terrible. So we should acknowledge that there are things in our future that are above and beyond our viewpoint, our selfish viewpoint, that just involve ourselves. This obedience is central to something. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you that in the verse. Jesus said, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that your joy may be full. Listen, obedience and love to Jesus, there's nothing in it that isn't joyful. I've told my kids over and over, and you can borrow this, there is no happiness without goodness. And I'll put it another way, there's no joy without obedience and love to Jesus. It all comes out of that joy. The life of love and obedience is one of unmixed joy. There's no regret. I have a friend that said once he had no regrets about his life. And I thought, you must not be very observant about yourself. Because if you can't look back on your life and see a few things you regret, you don't see yourself very well. But you know one of the things that you won't regret ever is following Jesus. Ever. It's a place of pure joy that Jesus, by His mercy, has got you on the path of God and His commandments, and you know what they are, and you're sure about them, and you walk in it. There's joy. Finally, the love to Jesus is far-reaching in its consequences. It reaches right into our personal life and what we are to do, when and where and how, and jump and turn here and go there. Jesus, this love for Jesus that Jesus spoke to Peter was going to take him to specific places at specific times. It was going to be pivotal in his life. Ultimately, where would it take him? To his death. But this love of Jesus is so far-reaching, it manifests itself in the minutia of our life and the grand decisions of our life. Oh, we sing it, more love to Thee, O Christ. Amen. Boy, I tell you, when Billy mentioned that song just a while ago, I thought, and Libeth's been singing it all morning to herself. This love for Jesus transforms our future. It's going to have far-reaching effects right out until the end of your life. The consequences of loving Jesus. And let me put it this way, right at the end. Love for Jesus has as its issue, and I use the word issue in the sense of children, works of devotion. If you love Jesus, it'll produce something in you. Following Him, actions, deeds, thoughts, habits. It produces things. And it mirrors Jesus' love for the Father. I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. You want to be like Jesus? What did Jesus do? Was it a grief to Him to follow His Father? It was His joy. And that's the way it should be with us. We sang it a while ago, and it's all good. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. This sets us apart. And walk in all the ways I commanded you, that it may go well with you. Wow, I'm thinking about how we started this morning. This idea of obedience sounds negative. It didn't. It's a light under our path. The world is illumined before the Christian by the commandment to love one another and to love Him and to serve Him. We have a Comforter that comes to us and He lives with us. He actually brings His suitcase to live with us forever. And he reveals himself to us and he shows us things. You think what you want in life. This is a, if you love me, all of it, it's one of those, in the original language, they call it a third class conditional sentence. If you love me, these things will follow. If you love me and keep my commandments, these things follow. All of this is dependent on this little if clause. If you love me and keep my commandments, all this great river of goodness will follow. All right, let's pray. Father, more love to your Son, Father, we would have it. And Father, this love for him that we know out of that is born obedience. Father, we think of Peter going to the cross himself. And he was going someplace that he necessarily did not want to go. Father, but he did love you and your Son, and he went. Father, we pray you'd write your love on our hearts, that love for your Son would be shed abroad in our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.